Good day, May.
Kia ora koutou katua from Aotearoa.
Magandang araw mga beshies.
This is Finding Answers Season 2 with JR.
And Tina.
Alright, Tina, how
Hello.
Are you?
Hello. It's been a while.
Just like that. Yes, and just like that, we're down to our last episode of the show's second season.
Yes, we're on our season ender actually. And today, we're quite happy to cap things off with yet another interesting and informative episode. So JR, diba, last week, we had a great discussion about partnership visa in Australia. Mm-hmm. So, tanong ko sa'yo ngayon, papahuli ba ang New Zealand?
I think so.
Oh?
No, I'm just kidding. Of course not, no? So, may baon din ako. So, we're quite lucky, fortunate to have another guest who is willing to share their partnership visa processing journey here in New Zealand. Isn't that great?
That's amazing. So, who is this guest?
Okay, so Tina and mga kabeshies, we have Sloane Bartlett. Oh my God, I hope I did not murder her last name. She's originally from Canada and she was able to traverse the globe, having worked in the UK for 2 years before coming to New Zealand. And she was my office mate and colleague in my current company, where she worked as a learning and development coordinator, and currently she assumes the same role in Kiwi Rail. And as mentioned, she's undergoing a partnership visa, or if I'm not mistaken, she has just finished the first part of it. More story on that one. Here in New Zealand. So she'll tell us more about that story, the processing, and everything that she has experienced on applying for the partnership visa. So, Tina, mga kabeshies, let's welcome to Finding Answers, Sloane. Hi, Sloane!
Hi, Sloane!
How are you?
Yeah, super good. Super excited to be on your season finale. Feeling very honored. So, very much looking forward to the show.
Thanks for joining us. Is this your first podcast?
It is not.
Oh,
it's
wow.
The first time. Yeah, I actually did have a podcast in my old job.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was for Mary Stokes International, which is a UK company, and it was about career development and how people got on their career path.
That's cool.
But I was the host. I didn't have to answer any questions. So, yeah, things have turned around.
Mm-hmm. So now you're on the other part of it.
Yeah. Can you tell us, Sloane, a bit about you and your personal journey, say from growing up in Canada and then moving to New Zealand?
Yeah, sure. So I thought I grew up in a small town of Welland, Ontario, Canada. So it's like kind of a small town outside of Niagara Falls, you know, with like the big waterfall and everything. Mm-hmm. So I thought this town was pretty tiny, of 50,000 people. I have re-examined what I thought is a small town since moving to New Zealand. So I thought, well, and I'm like, for me, sorry about it. So I moved out immediately as soon as I could at 18. And I went to go to university in Toronto, Ontario. Population like 4.5 million, I think. So I lived there from like 18 to 30. And then I'm like, this town is getting too small for me. So I decided to move to London in the United Kingdom. And it was honestly the best place for me at the time. And I was able to get a working holiday visa there for 2 years. And as long as you apply and arrive before you turn 31, you are eligible for it. So I arrived 18 days before I turned 31 and stayed there for the full 2 years. And it was really great. I like had such a love-hate relationship with it. So I loved the travel, I loved the public transit, even though it was filthy pop culture, but I hated the weather, the pollution, the damp cold. But time was up on my visa there and I couldn't stay. My partner, who is Kiwi, and I had a debate on whether we would move to Canada or New Zealand. So I'm like, babe, do you want to come to Canada in December? And he's like, no.
Oh my gosh, really?
I'm like, don't you want to go to like minus 35 White Christmas? And he's like, don't you want to go to the beach? And I'm like, yeah. And so New Zealand won by quite the landslide.
Okay, so New Zealand won. And summer Christmas won.
The summer Christmas! What am I doing in Northern Hemisphere with a winter Christmas? It's so awful! Now that I know, it's so good down here. Yeah, how can I go back? So yeah, I've had a couple, two actually Christmases in New Zealand, and we actually arrived Christmas Eve day, and it was
Christmas
awesome.
Eve? Wow!
Yeah, wow. Yeah, Christmas Eve day of 2018. Yeah.
Although maybe the experience in that, I guess, because the Christmas here, like how season the Christmas season feels, is not but that big, I suppose, when you're like on a bigger city like London. Or, because in the Philippines, Christmas is like really, really, really big, you know.
So and it when starts in here, September. Like,
and it starts in September in the Philippines. Yes, that's it's how Christmas big Christmas is.
That's crazy. It's definitely like Christmas leaks into October because you can see like the Halloween decorations and the Christmas decorations like, coming around the same time, and you're like, no. Just wait till November 1st until Halloween is done, and it can be Christmas. We don't have really Halloween here, so.
Yeah. So, in which visa were you on when you first moved to New Zealand?
So, initially, I applied for the working holiday visa. I was under 35, right. So I was still eligible for it. And it just seemed like cheaper and faster and easier to get.
It's so fast for you guys, huh?
So fast.
And looks like there's like no limit in terms of the quota, because for other countries, like for example, working holiday visa for the Philippines, they only have like a quota of 100 per year.
100 a year?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's all.
Because a lot of people would like to come here, from those countries, and actually all of them use it. Well, maybe 90% use it like really as a stepping stone for permanent residency eventually, and they just know that. That's why they limit it. So for you, it's so easy, I guess. It's like you can get it in a matter of days.
I got it the next day.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. So I applied, and they're like, please expect to wait 6 to 8 weeks. I'm like, no worries, got some time. And then the next day I got the email, you're approved, here's your letter, bye.
Exactly. Like,
okay.
You know the working holiday visa for the Philippines, because we also had a guest that talked about it, experience. Because the slots are just 100 per year, so it's very competitive. You have to be in a really fast internet space, because the slots will be gone in a matter of a couple of minutes.
So is there like a day that people have to start applying?
Yes, so they open it at 9 a.m. on a specific date, 9 a.m. New Zealand time, and you have to be on your computer at exactly 9 a.m. when it opens. Because in a snap, everything finishes. So you guys are very lucky.
I'm shook by this news. I've never even thought of that as a thing. That's crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you were on a working holiday visa for how long before you actually applied for the partnership visa?
So we weren't 100% sure if we were going to stay in New Zealand beyond the year. So we're like, should we, shouldn't we? And that was like the big debate in London as well. So that's why we got the working holiday. So around end of January, I think, we're like, actually, it would be better if we got the partnership visa, because then I could get on my partner's like work health benefits, and it just made the process so much easier for us here. And we decided, New Zealand's not so bad, let's stay. And thank goodness we did, because after this year has been such a disaster,
my gosh,
I'm like, please don't send me back to Canada. So we started getting all of our stuff ready in January, and then we actually submitted the application in April.
So how long were you in New Zealand already back then?
Oh, 4 months? Yeah.
Four months. Okay. Mm-hmm. And how did you jumpstart the process? So like, what was the first thing you did? So did you research first, or did you contact the immigration, or what?
So I went on the website, and it seemed like pretty smooth sailing. It gave you a lot of instructions. It gave you like what medical clinic you could go to in New Zealand to get your medical tests done. And I'm like, okay, I got this. I can do applications. I've already done working holiday one for not one, but two countries. How bad could this one be? Whoa, I was not prepared. And that's why it took like 2.5 months just to collect everything. It was, I wish I hadn't gone in so bold, but I did.
And it paid off.
It has, kind of.
Do you want to tell us a bit about that kind of?
Yeah, so I definitely didn't check all the right boxes that I should have in this like 27-page application with like you know, 50 documents attached to it, all compiled and labeled and da da da. So there's one box and that I didn't check. And it was the difference between applying as a partner for a New Zealand resident or a New Zealand citizen. So my partner's a citizen and I took the box for the resident, which only gave me 1 year versus indefinitely.
If that's 1 year, if you would like to stay indefinitely, you would have to do a reapplication.
I have to do a reapplication, yes. And because those are a bit more slim pickings, I need to start that like now. And I was just issued the partnership visa for 1 year not that long ago. So I'm just doing it again. But your police certificate expires, your medical certificate expires. These things only last so long. So instead of just paying an immigration advisor, which I should have done, I'm like, no way, $2,000. Yeah, right. No, because I'm going to be paying that again. because I didn't read all the fine print and didn't check the right box. And now I made like a $2,000 error.
Oh my God.
I know. So embarrassing.
But a question though, are these forms filled out online? Like the tick boxing and everything? Or you did it on paper?
No, it's all online. I never met someone face to face. Like we had a couple phone calls and that was about it. So everything was done online with that real login on the immigration website.
Yeah.
And it will keep track of it and everything and keep all your documents. But looking back, I'm like, why didn't you just like get someone to look at it or pay an immigration officer to like advise you? No. I was like, I got this. I did not got this.
Yeah, well, at least you got your decision already, so it's sort of like one foot in the door.
Yeah,
already.
Yeah.
So you got that. You just need like all the administrative stuff to get.
I know, but it's so bad because I applied actually in April, submitted all my stuff, and then they're like, "Please expect it to take 10 months." Nope, next month I got it, but then they didn't tell me for another 3 months that I got it.
All
right. So I was checking online, and I'm like, my application. It's not there anymore. I can't change anything. I can't add anything. So I called them and I'm like, oh, hi. You know, like what's going on with my application? I can't see anymore on the website. And they're like, oh, it went through 3 months ago. And I'm like, what? And they're like, did you not get a letter? I'm like, no. And sure enough, this woman was so apologetic and she forwards me this letter like within 5 seconds. And then all of a sudden I got it and I was like, okay. Very strange experience, which never happens. She's like, people have been calling, begging for their application that's like 10 months old and I got mine in a month. I think it's the Commonwealth country thing. That's just...
yeah, you're so lucky in these kinds of stuff.
I know, it was so lucky. But then I only had my working holiday visa for 5 months and then it's like null and void. It doesn't like extend on the end of that. So now I only have a partnership visa until May 2021 and I have to reapply for the indefinite partnership visa way before that, like next month.
Yeah, although I would just like to predict it. The application of yours for the indefinite one should be very easy already.
Besides
the fact that you already prepared everything beforehand. Yeah, they already know because you already have the records and everything in their perspective, right? So it's just like, okay, so she just missed this one, so it should be approved right away.
So you mentioned
fingers
crossed, yeah. Fingers crossed.
We're hoping. You mentioned earlier that you kind of sort of made a DIY and not paid for a migration agent. Are you planning to do migration agent this time or just like not at all? I'm just gonna do it.
Oh, I know, it's
again.
I'm not 100% decided on it and I don't know why. Like, just do it, just pay the money and do it. But part of me is like,
but you already know
basically
the boxes
already
that
done.
Think.
Yeah,
I know, but then I'm like, what if I like check the wrong box again? And then I have to make another like, you know, very expensive mistake. So I think this time I might, because actually I was trying to find out like on Reddit or YouTube, like how the process works, but it's actually illegal for people without a license to give immigration advice in New Zealand.
Yes.
Yeah, which I didn't know because I was like, why can't I find literally anything? And that's why, I had no idea.
But when you first did it yourself, what were the key documents required for a partnership visa that you had to prepare?
Oh my god. Okay. Yes, like they want all your details. Like, I don't think I've ever put so many selfies in a formal update. But that happened. Yeah. So we had to get all of our lease agreements with both of our names on it from the UK. And, you know, we were living there for only 2 years. We had moved twice. And we also have flatmates, too. So we had to get, like, support letters from our flatmates being like, you know, they were in a relationship and we were on the lease. We had to get bills at both of our names. And in the UK, you have to pay extra for each name that you want on a bill. So it was like £125 to put my name on our bill instead of just one name. But we needed it for the application. We needed to get evidence support letters from flatmates, friends, his family, my family. It was just a big old mess. Criminal checks, like crazy. Your medical check, so, so important because that only has like a 3-month expiry. So I would get that like the very last before you submit. And tons and tons. I had to put tons of photos. I don't know if that's everyone's experience, but I like geotagged every single photo with the timestamp for Google Photos. I'm like, we were in London in like January 2018, just to prove that, you know, we were in a relationship this whole time. So a lot of selfies, and sorry about it, New Zealand immigration that you had to go through.
Did you have to prepare like a chronology of the relationship and your plans?
Yes.
You also have to prepare that, right?
So we did that, and then I put all the photos along with that, and then we had to do a support letter about ourselves and what we did together.
Yes, like a joint letter.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like typing it. I'm like, we like gardening. I'm like, we sound boring. So, yeah, it was a very long process. And we had no idea like how to really sell ourselves as a couple. We never really had to do that, but in this case we did. And it got done in the end, but it was a huge zip file of everything that I had sent over.
Maybe it's part of it. I'm just getting it from what you've just been saying. And it could be a bit personal, but you can choose not to answer it. But did you have that proper conversation about, hey babe, I'm not sure if you call him, but hey babe, are we gonna do this? Or did you actually have to go through that conversation, or is this pretty much like a set done deal, like we are going?
That's a great question, because my partner, he was actually sponsored in his job. He was only a year away from getting permanent residency in the UK. And I could not stay in the UK. So he couldn't exactly go back to that. As soon as it was like done, he was done with that, and he would have to start over in a permanent residency like timeline if he wanted to do that for the UK. So it was a tough decision, and it took like a couple days being like, I don't really know what to do. Like, do I have to go back to Canada and we have like long distance for a year or something until he gets permanent residency and I can come back? But at the end of the day, we decided that, you know, he was kind of done with London too and wanted to go back to New Zealand. His family here has been growing. He hadn't seen them in 4 years, so he definitely wanted to head back.
Okay.
However,
Yeah,
it was a bit of a bar talk situation that we had at the pub one day.
At least it all worked out.
Yeah, all worked out, but I was like sweating because I was the one like in that position that I couldn't stay and he could.
Yeah,
a bit of a tough one.
You mentioned about the police checks earlier. Did you have to get the police certificates from Canada, UK, and New Zealand?
So since I hadn't been living in the UK or in New Zealand for 12 months, I didn't have to do it for New Zealand, but I had to do it for Canada and the UK. However, the UK one was so much harder to get than the Canadian one.
Yeah.
They have to go through Scotland Yard. So you have to get your fingerprints done, and I had to get my fingerprints done twice, and they're $80 each. So it was $160 just for the postman to like put your fingers on the page.
That's crazy.
And sign it. Yeah, it was crazy. And then I had to send half of them to Canada, half of them to the UK. The UK is very, very strict and very, very traditional in their immigration. So they wanted literally everything that I'd sent New Zealand immigration going to the UK, like all my lease agreements, bills, da da da, proving that I had lived there. And Canada's like, yeah, whatever, you have a passport, here you go.
How much did you have to shell out for the partner?
Ooh, yeah. So Immigration New Zealand predicted it would be about $1,200 in total. Mm-hmm. So the original application, I think, was like $650. And then plus my medical, I think, was $500. And then my criminal checks ended up being because I had to get it FedExed with a tracking number to Canada and the UK. So that was like $50 each. So that's $100 plus the $160 for the fingerprints. Thanks, post office. To get it done, it was $250 in Canada and £150, so $300. So I spent a lot more than $1,200. It came it came out about like $1,700 in total. Plus for my medical certificate, they had took a photo and they charged me $20 to take a photo at the medical clinic. And I was like, what is this? Anyway, that was interesting. Thankfully though, in a financial position to do it, but also it was just like every time you met someone, every time you needed a paper signed, a huge amount of money. Oh, plus I had to get things notarized. That was a dilemma, trying to get things notarized. Auckland closes down very early.
I know,
starting a new job, trying to get things notarized, and I don't drive either, so.
Oh, you know what I did? They do accept, any lawyer, right, to notarize it. And I'm actually, for my applications of stuff, I actually tapped the legal department of our company.
You did not?
Yes, and they do notarize things for you.
JR, can you hook me up? Because I have to do my partnership.
Or even in your current company now. You can do that.
Maybe I should like,
you can just ask them.
And be like, hey, let's be friends.
No, they just do that officially as well because they do assist the employees.
Yeah, it makes total sense.
They do assist the employees as well. So, before you actually do the entire thing, how much research and preparation do you think it is ideal for someone to do? And what are like the key web pages that they would have to visit?
Yeah, so the Immigration New Zealand is actually pretty comprehensive, and you just want to make sure that all of your documents are listed with your name and the date of submission, because those things can just like poof go away if they're not uploaded properly. So you want to make sure. I kept everything on a Google Drive and literally kept it like photos of Toby and I and lease agreements and like letters of support, and everything had my name on it, and it made things a bit more organized when I had to send it. And then also you want to make sure that you read every single thing. This is not a skimming application. Read the words on the page. I cannot emphasize that enough, because I'm really bad. I'm such a skimmer, and I should have had someone look over it, even like my partner, and I was like, no, it's fine. That did not work out. Yeah. So make sure you're reading every single thing. Even if it's helpful, you can actually print off the web pages and like go through it one by one is something I would recommend. So definitely do that.
Ang galing, no? You actually have like a similar answer to our guest last week about partner visa, like about
like
how she organized.
They have very organized, detailed, and everything.
Nitty gritty about, you know, the file names and make sure that it's gonna be clear for the agent processing your visa.
Yeah,
because that helps a lot.
Merge everything. Yeah.
Yeah, because it helps a lot in terms of like how efficient they will be able to find the documents that they're looking for and everything. So.
Yeah, and they were very efficient in my case, and things were organized, labeled. Like, don't send them a random like PDF of nothing. Like, they're looking at probably a lot of applications per day, especially now. I'm sure post COVID, so you definitely want to make it as like user-friendly as possible.
Yeah.
Maybe this links to the next question, which is, what do you think are the main factors that make applications successful, and maybe what are the challenges as well that maybe you heard from others about their experiences?
For me, it was definitely trying to get everything compiled while working a Monday to Friday 9-to-5 job, because things are just closed here on the weekend, or they close down really early and you can't get them done after work. So hopefully you have a really nice boss who lets you take a long lunch to get this thing started. And another thing too is printing. If you're not working, where do you print stuff? I highly recommend the Auckland Library or any New Zealand library. For super cheap, and that prints great. And they have everything you need there. And what else would I recommend? And just constantly recheck everything. Like, even if a page is like not in chronological order, let's say for your lease agreements or something like that, you do want to have everything in chronological order as detailed as possible.
That's right. Really good tips. Yeah. So maybe as a last question, any final message to our listeners who are very much interested in pursuing this partnership visa but are kind of like scared about the whole thing, the application process, the documents that they need to prepare and everything. So any message to them?
Yeah, definitely do it. Because, you know, these things like have such a time sensitivity to it. Like sometimes it could be a working holiday visa with an age restriction. Just do the application. Have someone look it over. Someone who is a bit more detail oriented than maybe yourself. highly recommend that. And make sure you have everything that you need before you start your application. It's much easier to edit down than trying to get everything as you start the application. You don't need everything straight away, but I do recommend that because I found myself like downloading and having to re-upload things that had been changed, or like a new detail on a lease agreement or a bill that came through finally because I didn't have a hard copy kind of thing. So it's always better to keep those stored outside of the application and then at the end upload everything then. And my last one would probably be like, don't be scared, because everyone I've spoken to at immigration, even when I messed up, were super nice. They wanted to help me out. They're like, oh, you just didn't click this box. And I'm like, no. And they're like, okay, this is what you do. And I'm like, okay. And they could not be. Like, I've had really bad experiences with UK immigration trying to get anything out of them, and they are not helpful. They do not want to help you out. But New Zealand just has a totally different spirit about it. They love their country so much. They're so patriotic to their country, and they want other people to enjoy it. So with that, people are nice. Just do it. Don't be scared, but check all your boxes.
Amazing. Nice. That's such a breath of fresh air, because, you know, like hearing immigration people actually being helpful.
Oh, I know. It sounds like dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Yeah. It does sound like a doomsday type thing where you're like, I have to call immigration. Yeah. But it's not like that at all. People are very, very helpful. Always have your application and client number, like, handy dandy. And it is a breeze to get through. Yeah. And ask the dumb questions. Be like, hey, this is a dumb question, but what do I do with this? And because at the end of the day, they're not, like, no one's going to know it as well as they do. So you may as well ask.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Great tips and great message. So every episode we have, we try to have like a gimmick segment that we don't share to the guest right away. But our gimmick segment is pretty much about Kiwi and Australian slangs. So if you know any Kiwi slangs on top of your head, maybe you can test that out with us. Maybe share with it, and then we will guess what's the meaning of it. If you have a couple.
Okay. Ask me to get you coffee.
Can you get me coffee?
Sure, bro.
Thanks,
bro. No, sure. Sure. Is that sure?
Sure. Yeah, sure, bro. Yeah.
Sure. You have home court advantage, JR.
Yeah, he definitely does.
But
I feel like I don't say it quite the same way. I don't have that twang yet. And it's safe to say I never will.
Same. Do you have another one?
Do I have another one? Let's see. Oh, what's a good one? Oh, my mother-in-law asked me this. She's like, Song, can you pick me up a couple of chooks?
Chicken.
Oh, what?
Chickens.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm like a chook, and I have to like Google it instead of asking her what it is.
Maybe it's our turn. Tina, can you give her like an Aussie slang that you know of?
It's my favorite, and I always ask this to the guests. So if you listen to any of our previous episodes, you would have known, but chuck a sticky.
Throw me a beer.
No. It has something to do with work, or it could have something to do with work. Or going to school. Chuck
or going to school.
Yeah. Maybe use it in a sentence, Tina.
I don't really feel like going to work, so I guess I'm gonna chuck a sickie.
Oh, I see. Is it like taking the piss? Is that another? I don't know.
Yeah. So it's like
Taking a sick leave,
even though you're
just gonna go to the sick leave.
Mine would be my favorite is Wop Wops. Have you heard of that?
No, it sounds like a delicious candy.
No, it's like I'll use it in a sense. Like, where are you taking us? We're in the Wop Wops. I can see anything here.
Oh, in Canada we have a phrase like that too.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, we're in the boons.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think in the US it's called whoop whoop or something. Whoop, whoop. So it's like the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Yes. So thank you very
much.
Once again, Slo.
Oh my gosh, no, thank you for having me.
It's so entertaining to have
finale.
You.
Yeah,
I'm so glad.
Finale.
Yes.
Yeah, no big deal.
Tina, any shout outs?
Any shouts?
Yeah. Sloan just mentioned something about the season finale, which this episode is. So this is the 10th episode of the second season, and we'd like to thank all of you Kobeshis and all of our guests as well for season 2, including you, Sloan. So thank you so much for being with us. So much more to expect for the next season, JR. We have lined up a lot of topics, including travel-related topics. Where to travel in Australia and New Zealand. Let's all relate to topics.
Places to go to. Oh my gosh, we have
to
a
go
lot.
To. Yes, I'm very excited for this as well. For New Zealand. So,
yes.
And lifestyle as well. So, how much do you budget in a month if you live on your own and things like that? And
that's a good one.
Yeah. And a lot of visa questions we're getting from our Facebook page. So, we're going to tackle sectoral visas as well. So lately we've been tackling about like visas in general, but like what if you're an IT professional or you're a health professional? How does visa
function?
So
very cool.
Something
like
that.
Can't wait to listen.
Yes. And as usual, it will be fun, engaging with guests and hopefully informative from Tina and I, and also the guests that we'll be having. So yes, looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Hope you have enjoyed our topic for this episode, Kobeshis. If you have any other topic suggestions, comments, reactions, or any message you want to send, please get in touch with us on our Facebook and Instagram pages, Finding Answers, or send us an email at finding.answers@gmail.com.
So yes, join us again in our next episode as we welcome season 3 of Finding Answers with JR
and Tina.
Yay,
thank you
Sloan.
Thank you so much. Have a good one, guys.